the 8th chapter of Romans, verse number 26 and 27. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page number 834 in the Pew Bible. Romans chapter 8. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 8. Let's beginning a few verses ahead of that, verse number 18, and let's read through verse number 28. So we'll read that section of verses, verse 18 through 28. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we'll stop there. Won't look at that verse this morning, just really focusing on verses 26 and 27. But before we begin the message, let's go once again to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord's help as we look at these verses this morning. Ryan, would you pray for us? Yes.
Allow us to receive your word. Allow our brother to carry your thought. Allow his words, your words, to flow through him from your throne this morning. Bless us this morning, we pray in Christ's
name. Amen. You may be seated. So, last week we spoke about hope. In the preceding verses, we've been going through the book of Romans. If you didn't hear the message last week, sadly, you're not going to be able to. I don't think we had it recorded, so most of those messages are out there on sermon audio, but this morning we want to continue in our thoughts, not only in regards to the things that we've looked at last week in regards to hope. We saw some things there about groaning within ourselves. We saw some things before that about creation groaning, waiting for the redemption, about for the manifestation of the sons of God. What are we talking about there? Well, we're talking about sin. I was weeding the little flower bed under the sign, which the sign's missing right now. We're working on repairing it. But we were pulling weeds yesterday. My youngest daughter and I, Lydia, was there, and we were pulling those things up. And I looked at those, and I pointed to them. I said, Lydia, this is this way because of sin. It wasn't that way in the garden. There's a lot of things in this world that are wrong, that are a result of sin. And creation was made subject to the thorns and the thistles and the briars and things of that nature because of the sin of man. And we ourselves even grown within ourselves. If you know the Lord, if you've been saved, then you know something of a redeemed life. You know something of a regenerated life. You know something of being a new creature, you know, in Christ Jesus. You realize something of that which we have in Christ, but we still abide within this fleshly body. You know, yesterday I had to call Andrew outside to help me because I was give out. You know, I was doing some trimming, some things around the house, and I about had what I was going to be able to take by myself, and Teresa to come out and help me, and the girls would come out and help me, and I sent Lydia to go get Andrew, and then I had some strength again because he was there, you know, to help me. He was fresh, and he's stronger than I told Teresa yesterday, I said, oh, to be young again. You know, I look at him, and I think, I can't do that anymore. Like I used to be able to do. He was telling me, what were you carrying? Three what? What was it? I know you don't want to say you're embarrassed now that I'm talking about you. Three, how long were they? 3 2x6s at one time, 16 feet long. We used to be able to do that, Dad, I guess. Ryan, do you think you could still do that? I don't know. That's some weight, especially if they were wet. If they were dry, not so bad, but if they were wet, that was some heavy stuff, you know, there. But to be young again, have that kind of strength, you know, that's something that's, you know, Brother Wiseman, that, you know, you're mostly gray now. You know, I'm getting there. You know, there's things that are happening unto our bodies. You know, there's things that are happening to us rapidly where we're declining. You know, we were young once and now we're old. And what's that a result of? Why does that happen? You know, the world can ask those questions. They don't really have an answer, you know, for it. We can say, yes, we have an answer. It's because of sin. Sin's the reason that these things are happening. Sin's the reason why we're decaying. Sin's the reason why that the creation, as it says there, is in the bondage of corruption. Sin's the reason, you know, why we're in these fleshly bodies and they're failing. But there's coming a day. And that's the hope that we were talking about last week, right, Brother Wiseman? And we were singing about it. You know, he called out that hymn, Meet Me There. After it was over with, I said, one day, brother, you know, we're going to be there. One day we're going to be in glorified bodies, and we're not going to have sickness, and we're not going to have sorrow, we're not going to have pain, and we're not going to have death. Those things will be over. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. You know, all these things will be changed. And so that's kind of a backdrop of what we've been talking about in the preceding verses. And we have this word in verse number 26 that says likewise. And we have to think about, okay, well, that's sort of like a therefore. When we see a therefore, why is the therefore there? What's been said before that? And likewise is, in a way, in a similar manner, it's speaking about things that have been spoken about before. Verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, there's some infirmity. We've been talking about that already. We have infirmity within our bodies. We have infirmity even as we read these two verses of Scripture. We have infirmity in our prayer life. There's infirmity there in our prayer life. And so Paul's using that as an illustration and talking about the Spirit helping us. The Spirit helps us even in our prayers. This isn't the first thing that Paul said about the Spirit. If you go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 8, there's some things that we saw in verse number 2. We saw the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So because of what we have in Christ and by being born again by the Spirit, we have this new life that he's speaking of there in verse number 2, whereby we've been freed from the law of sin and death. Death doesn't have dominion over the Christian any longer. I'm not saying you're not going to die. We're all going to die physically. I may be planted up there on that hill. There's a cemetery right up the road here. You know, I don't know where I'll be buried, you know, one day, but I'm going to die one day. But where's death's sting? Where's death's victory? You know, it's been swallowed up in the righteousness of Christ. Verse 4 says, the righteousness of the law being fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't walk after the flesh anymore. We walk after the Spirit. Once our lives were under the dominion of the flesh. Once we walked after the flesh. Once we were concerned about the things of the flesh. We weren't concerned about the things of the Spirit. We weren't concerned about heavenly things. We weren't concerned about sitting in a church service and listening to somebody preach. We weren't concerned about the Word of God and what it had to say. We walked after the flesh. We lived for ourselves. But now we walk after the Spirit. So just talking about things that are in relationship to the Spirit, because we're saying likewise the Spirit in verse number 26. Why are we saying that? Why are we using the word likewise? Verse number 6 talks about carnal mindedness being death, but spiritual mindedness being life and peace. Go on to say that if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but life because of righteousness. Verse 10 and 11, if the spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead be in you, then also he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Verse number 13, if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many, in verse number 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then verse number 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this isn't the first instance, even within the eighth chapter of Romans, that Paul's been talking about the Spirit. And so here he says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And so what's this word infirmity mean? What are we talking about when we say infirmities? There, on that boat you used to be on in the Navy, there was an infirmary. You know, in on that ship, Dad was in the Army. There was an infirmary somewhere on land, you know, in some tent probably or a building or something, depending on where they were. But there was an infirmary. What does it mean to be infirm? Well, it means to be weak. I mean, a person that's in an infirmity is sick. They're weak. They need help. Maybe they can't even care for themselves, you know, because they're so sick. Think about some of these people that have this coronavirus that's going around. Seems to be a pretty serious thing, and people get pretty sick, you know, from it. Respiratory problems as a result, and pneumonia and things set in, and you can get pretty feeble, you know, in that kind of a condition. Especially those that are older and already, you know, maybe have some other issues, you know, as a result of something like that coming along. But it has to do with weakness. It has to do with feebleness. It has to do with one of strength. It has to do with one of capacity to be able to do something. So it's a weakness that he's identifying here in prayer. So he says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. So it's a help the Spirit gives because of the weakness that we have, you know, in our own fleshly bodies. The Spirit is willing. What comes next? But the flesh is weak. So there's this infirmity, you know, within our flesh. We know in part, the scripture says, we prophesy in part, you know, but there's coming a day when we'll know even as we are known. So there's an infirmity in our flesh. We read this in the preceding verses, we received the first fruits of the Spirit. So we don't know yet even as we are known, but one day we will. When we see him, we'll be like him, the scripture says. So there's an infirmity here. There's a lack here. There's a shortcoming, you know, here that won't be, you know, there. But here we have need of help. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we're told, in our infirmity. What's this infirmity? How does he identify this infirmity here? Well, he goes on to say, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, he's not saying that we don't know how to pray. The disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, there's a model prayer that the Lord gives there. And here's the components of prayer. These are things that ought to be, you know, part of your prayer. We know we're to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We're to enter in with praise. If you don't know what to pray for, just praise God for what he's given unto you. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Thank him for all that he's done for you. Thank him for all that he's given unto you. Like we said this morning, we have so much more. Even the poorest among us, we have so much more than most of the world, you know, in other countries. The Lord has blessed us. If we're breathing today, the Lord's blessed us. If we're able to eat today, the Lord's blessed us. And I'm not talking about just having food on the table. I'm talking about even being able to digest it. I mean, the fact that you can digest that food and it gives strength unto your body, I mean, give God thanks for that, that you have two arms and two legs, that you have fingers and toes and eyes and ears, and then you have a mind to be able to think, just to be able to give him thanks for those things. If you have a wife that loves you, if you have a family, I mean, those things are things to be thankful for. I mean, I could be alone, you know, in this world. My parents could be gone. You know, I could not have a wife and not have children and just be me. And here I'm walking alone in this world. And if I knew the Lord, I wouldn't really be alone. I would have him. But what a blessing it is to have a helpmate. How thankful I am, you know, for my wife. How thankful I am that God's given unto me children. How thankful I am that we have this place to come and meet. How thankful I am that God has shown unto me his grace and given unto me, you know, his salvation, that I know him in a saving way, that I know when I die that I'll close my eyes here and that I'll open them in heaven. I mean, no matter how bad it could get here, If I were to lose my life, it's just going to turn into a blessing for me because I'm going to find myself in heaven, you know, in His presence. So there are many things. We could go on and on. I've told you before how ashamed I am at times that we'll sit down at the table and I ask one of the girls to pray. And the things that they would pray for, they don't even think about. And they start talking about the sky and the birds and, you know, things that are so simple as a child. And I think, Lord, how unchildlike my mind is when I come before You. I've got all these big things that I'm going to need to pray about, and I don't think about all these simple things, all these graces that You've given them. You know, soon we'll hear the birds, you know, begin to chirp and sing. And what a blessing, you know, those things are to be able to see that and think God did that. And not to think like the world does that these things just happened, you know. But to be able to think God gave these things unto us. God created these things. You know, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. That we can think in those terms how thankful we ought to be. But we are weak. You know, we fail in many ways. We fail, you know, in prayer in many ways. But here, Paul's talking about a weakness and a feebleness and a want of strength that we have, you know, even in our prayer life. And it's not the how to pray, because we know that it's not whether we should pray, because we know we should pray. We know in Scripture tells us, you know, how we ought to pray. We talked about entering into His courts with thanksgiving, coming before God with praise. We have this model prayer that the Lord gave unto the disciples when they asked Him, teach us to pray. And why would they say, teach us to pray? And you think about the fact that they heard the Lord pray. No wonder they said, teach us to pray. You've heard other people pray before, maybe, and you thought, wow, I wish I could pray like that. Lord, teach me to pray, you know, that I might be able to pray like that, that it might be not for me that I might be thought well of, but that I might be a blessing to other people to be able to pray like that. I've been reading some older men who preached back in the 1700s and 1800s, and people were riveted by, before the message ever even began, they were riveted by and fed by and encouraged by just the pastor's prayers. And I think to myself, Lord, I'd like to be a blessing, you know, like that, to Your praise and Your honor and Your glory, be a blessing like that, you know, unto people, and be able to pray, you know, in such a fashion. But so we're not talking about whether we should or how we are to pray, but we're talking about an infirmity that we have in our prayers. And he goes on to further define that when he says in verse number 26 that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So now we're getting a little closer to what we're talking about here. When we're thinking about, and I'm looking at my mom, look at me, and she's probably thinking, I've thought about this verse of Scripture before, and I've kind of wondered, you know, exactly what are we talking about here? I've had some thoughts about, well, is the Spirit groaning, or is it we're groaning? Who's groaning? You know, what's this infirmity that we have, you know, in prayer? You know, and I understand, you know, that we've never preached through this passage of Scripture before. So that's what we want to know. What are we talking about here? Certainly this isn't the only point that we have something mentioned to us in Scripture in regards to the Spirit, you know, helping us. That's the whole point in the Spirit being sent unto us, is to help us in this fashion. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. What kind of Spirit is He? Well, He's a Spirit of truth. He teaches, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, because He dwelleth, or for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then you go on down to verse number 26, and it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever been praying and the Lord's brought something to your remembrance? Well, that's happened because of the Spirit helping your infirmity. I mean, that's part of what we're talking about here. John 15:26 says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. I mean, God bringing promises to our minds by His Spirit, things that He said unto us in His Word, promises that we can pray back unto Him. This is part of what Paul's talking about here. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. We have a weakness. We don't know these things. We have a need of understanding. We have a need of knowledge. We have a need of being reminded. And the Spirit stirs us. The Spirit stirs some of these things up within us. And that's what he's talking about in bringing these things to our remembrance, helping us to remember some things that we need to be mindful of, maybe in this given sort of set of circumstances. Here we are in a real problem. Well, what do we need to think about this? You know, how do we need to pray about this? How do we need to consider this? What should we pray for? How should we pray? That's the thing that Paul's talking about here. The Spirit helps our infirmity in this way. Again, it's not that we don't know that we ought to pray or how to pray, but what do we pray for in a given situation? I mean, maybe your wife's sick. Maybe she's on her deathbed. You know, how do I pray about this? I know what I want. You know, I want the Lord to restore her health. I mean, that's what I want. But I don't know what needs to happen, how it needs to happen, you know, where things need to go from here, what God's doing, you know, in the midst of this, and how it might, you know, have an effect on this person, that person, or upon me. You know, I really don't understand all that the Lord is doing, you know, in all those things. But that's why I went ahead and read verse number 28. What do we see there? I went ahead and read that verse because we know that all things work together for good. Now, I'm not saying that things feel good all the time. You may be going through some hard things right now. I don't know. But things don't always feel good, but they are for our good. God's causing, if you're His, He's causing everything to work together for your good. And I can look back at the hardest things in my life and I can say that was for my good, that God brought good out of that in my life, that God taught me things in that situation and that set of circumstances that I never would have known otherwise. I would have never been brought to a place where I'm grounded in this particular area of my life unless the Lord had allowed that to happen. Unless the Lord had brought that into my life, I would not otherwise know that. And on the other side, I can look back and say, you know what? Everything that God taught me through that, you know, what this gold mine, what this treasure trove of information and truth that's been given unto me and that I now can hope in, I would not go back and say, Lord, you know what? I'd rather not go through that situation to gain that knowledge. No, instead I said, Lord, that knowledge was so much more valuable than what it cost me to gain it, that I would not so foolishly make that sort of a statement, say I would rather not have gone through that. On the other side of it, it was hard in the middle of it, but on the other side of it, I could say, Lord, that was a blessing. Lord, that was good. I hope you can say that. I hope you can see that. I hope that's a reality in your life because that's true. God hasn't promised us a pain-free, trouble-free existence. I mean, is that what the Scripture teaches us, that you become a Christian and everything becomes, you know, rosy and everything is going to be fine and you're going to have, you know, whatever you want, and you're not going to have any trouble and you're not going to have any pain and you're not going to have any sickness and you're not going to have any sorrow? Now, we can point to a lot of verses of Scripture that say otherwise. In this world, you shall have tribulation. And that's a reality. Tribulation works patience. You're not going to have patience unless you go through tribulation. Tribulation teaches unto us patience, and we have need of patience. We have need of patience. Patience begets hope. I have need of hope. So there's trouble. There's difficulties. And this is the realm in which Paul is speaking about when he's talking to us about this infirmity that's in our flesh. So, you know, when we think about that and we think about places that we've been, we think about how we've been perplexed. I mean, have you ever been in a problem and you've gone to the Lord in prayer and you're really kind of perplexed about exactly how should I pray in this matter? Exactly what should I pray for? You know, what needs to happen here? I'm not sure. I don't know how to pray. That's what Paul's saying here. One man called it an encouragement to a patient and Christian way of walking under crosses. That's just an old way of talking about trouble when he talks about crosses. And he says a willingness to endure those things, in other words, those crosses, for the cause of Christ. So if it means that someone's going to be saved as a result, or someone's going to be helped as a result of something that I'm going through, or I'm going to be helped, I mean, that's something that's needful for me. It's a reality that we would certainly like that it not to happen. I mean, I'd rather not have any trouble. I mean, I'm just like you. I'd rather things to be problem-free. But in a sense, we don't like going through those things, but they're necessary. Knowing that God teaches us through those things, then we look at them a different way. Think about Paul, and he had the thorn in the flesh. How many times did he ask the Lord to remove it? Three times. He asked the Lord to remove it. Was it wrong for him to ask the Lord to remove it? No. No, it wasn't wrong. He had this infirmity. He wanted the Lord to remove it. He asked the Lord to remove it. And what did the Lord respond to him? Yeah, he didn't remove it, did he? He responded and said, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. This is necessary. You know, why was it needful for Paul? Why did Paul need that? Well, because of the abundance, the scripture says, of revelations that had been given unto him, he had need of this. Why? Keep him grounded. To keep him grounded, to keep him humble, to keep him dependent, to keep him turning to the Lord. Think about the man in Proverbs who says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Why did that man want neither poverty nor riches? He didn't want poverty, but he didn't want riches either. Isn't that strange? I mean, most people in the world today, they want riches. If I had riches, you know, that my life would be complete. No, it wouldn't. There may be some temptations and troubles and problems that come along with that that you cannot see from this side of things and you would not want. But that man in Proverbs, you know, he had some wisdom. He said, Lord, I don't want to be so poor that I steal and profane your name. And then on the other side of things, here's the problem with riches. Or one of the problems anyway. On the other side of things with riches, he said, I don't want to be rich and forget you. I don't want to forget God. I mean, what if things were well in your life and there were no troubles and there were no problems? You know, what would that be like for you with your relationship with God? Would you be dependent upon God? Would you get up every day and be thankful for those things? You know, would you continue to look unto Him and to trust in Him, or would you begin to trust in the riches? Would you begin to trust in what you have? I mean, it's easy to call upon the Lord and trust in Him when you don't have, and you have a need. Lord, I have a need here. I need you to meet that. I don't know how you're going to meet the need, but I need you to meet this need. I need you to help me, you know, in this circumstance. And so I want to be in the same place that man in Proverbs is talking about. I want to be in a place where I'm kept dependent upon God, where I'm looking unto Him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. That I'm not depending upon myself or upon someone else, but I'm looking unto Him. So there's this infirmity. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to, or how, in other words, we ought to pray in that situation. So the reality is that we're weak and we have need of help. Our burdens, think about this, our burdens, they're really too heavy for us to bear. And the Spirit comes alongside and helps us to bear these burdens. How does He help us? By bringing these things to our remembrance, by helping us to understand, you know, by the truth, by the Word of God, you know, what we ought to pray for, you know, helping us in that fashion, that He's coming alongside and He's shouldering the burden with us. I mean, it's great that Andrew can carry, you know, those boards, but if it was me, I would like to have somebody on the other end helping me. That would be something that would be needful for me, or I might just carry one at a time. But if somebody said, no, you need to carry three at a time, I said, well, give me somebody to help me, you know. Well, here we have the Spirit helping us. You know, and that illustration will break down, you know, carry it too far. But we're weak. Why don't we fall away? Why don't we give up? Why do we continue on? Why do we continue coming to the Lord? Why don't we say, you know what, I'm tired of this. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And just walk away. There are people in Scripture who did that. And remember, the Lord turned to the disciples and said, will you also go away? And they said, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But there were those who walked away and followed Him no more. Why don't we give up? Why don't we say, just forget it? You know, it's the Spirit of God's helping us. It would be too much for us. You know, why do we continue? The Spirit helps us, strengthens, you know, our hands and our feeble knees, as the Scripture speaks of, gives us peace. Think about what Philippians talks about. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. I left part of that out. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How much is peace worth? How much help is peace unto you? I mean, something can happen. Something terrible, something tragic can happen and can disrupt your peace, can try to put fear, you know, in its place and doubt in its place. How important is peace? This is something that God gives, something that God grants. We bring these things unto Him. We lay them at His feet, and we can say, Lord, I know that Your Word says that You cause all things to work together for my good. I'm looking at this thing. I can't see how this could ever work to my good. But I know You're not limited the way I am. You know, you're not fallible as I am. You know, I know that You're able to take this and work it together, you know, for my good. So I'm just asking, Lord, You help me, you know, to understand. Help me to see. Help me to benefit from this. Help me to be the blessing that ought to be to others, you know, even in this. The witness and testimony that ought to be. But the peace of God, being able to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, how important is that? And this is, I think, a function of what we're talking about here with the Spirit helping us. But what a privilege. Think about prayer in of itself. What a privilege prayer is. To be able to come boldly before the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, like Hebrews speaks of, that I have that desire, that I have that understanding, this is what I need to do, that this is where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. I mean, go read the Psalms and see how many times David, over and over and over again, when we're going through the Psalms on Wednesday nights, I mean, you see how David so often, you know, he's calling upon the Lord. So many of those psalms are like prayers. They're songs, but they're like prayers, you know, that David has offered up unto the Lord, asking for help, talking about the Lord being near in time of trouble, talking about the Lord being a strong tower, and that the righteous run into and they're safe, you know. We see all those sorts of things over and over again. But Do we pray perfectly? No, that's not what we're talking about here. Do we find weakness in this area? Yes. We're dull. We're weak, you know, in our senses. We have need of help. We have need of the Lord to come along beside us and help us, you know, in our prayers, so that we don't give up, so that we don't fret, so that we don't faint. You know, the Scripture talks about that in relationship to prayer, that we ought to pray and what? Faint not. I mean, if we're left to our own strength, could we not faint in our prayer life? Could we not fail to continue to pray? Could we give up and just say, I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do? Yeah. But the Spirit comes and helps us in our infirmity, comes alongside and provides help with, it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Are these unintelligible things? Are we talking about, you know, unintelligible groanings? No, it says groanings that can't be uttered. We're not talking about some sort of gibberish that has no rational content. We're talking about groanings that can't be uttered, but they're not things that can't be felt. I mean, that's really where they're coming from. They're coming from our emotions and the feelings that we have, and the Spirit helping us, you know, in these things, find expression. To help us with what is happening within us, where we don't know what we should do, how we should pray. And it says here the Spirit helps us to express ourselves in groanings which can't be uttered. I've heard some of you groan before, in a sense. I've heard you sigh before. I don't know what that sigh means. I mean, I could hear my wife sigh and not, I mean, if we're involved in the same situation, I'd hear her sigh, I might have some idea of why she's sighing. Because here we are in the same circumstance, the same situation. We understand the same difficulties that are involved in it. And here she sighs, and I can kind of say, well, I kind of understand. But I don't know completely what's in that sigh, everything that's involved in that sigh. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, when a person sighs like that, how many things are involved there? I mean, how many things come together there that aren't being expressed in words, but they're involved in a split second, in a moment, just in that sigh, everything that is going on, everything that is wrong, all the help that is desired, all the hope that we have in God, and we're looking for help that comes from the Lord. You know, everything is there involved in that sigh, you know, just in a moment of time. And I can't interpret all that in you when you do that, but guess what? God can. God's able to. God knows everything that is involved in that sigh, everything that is behind that sigh, you know, everything that's there within it. So, you know, this groaning is not the Spirit groaning. God doesn't have a cause to groan. God doesn't lack anything that He would groan for it, but we have a lack and we do groan. And the Spirit helps us in this fashion in our prayers when we're perplexed and we don't know what we should do. So, times where a groaning comes over us, where all my cares and concerning a matter and my desire that God would come and deliver, like we were saying, but also at the same time desiring that His will be done, because I know enough from what I've read in Scripture and what God's taught me that what God would have happen is better than what I would have happen. Because I would say, Lord, this is what I would like for You to do. Lord, would you do this? That may not be the thing that needs to happen. You know, what am I going to look for most of the time? My flesh? What's my flesh going to look for? Easy way out. The shortcut. You know, instead of praying like I ought to maturely and say, Lord, I don't know how long this needs to last, but I want it to work whatever it needs to work in my life so that I might better serve You. You know, the flesh wants the easy way out. But, you know, when we think about it and the Spirit helps us to understand what's going on and see these things as we ought to and think upon these things and pray about these things as we ought to, then we can think upon them and pray about them in a more rational manner. Lord, sanctify this to my good. Lord, help this to be a help unto me. So the Spirit stirs us. The Spirit brings things to our remembrance. It brings promises before us. So it's more than words. It's a groaning that He's talking about here. And He goes on to say, He who searches, you read that with me, you know, there in the 27th verse, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So these groanings God knows. I can't see your heart this morning. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I don't know what you're thinking about right now, but God does. God knows exactly what your thoughts are at this moment. God knows exactly what you're thinking, what you would like, what you dislike, you know, what you're thinking about that you're going to do later, or what you may be thinking about this message, or whatever, you know, it may be. He who searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You know, we read that passage of Scripture this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about the things that are spiritual, the Spirit reveals unto us and gives us understanding of. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So we understand the Spirit gives us understanding in things that we don't understand and things that we are weak in that area. You've got guys in here that are involved in construction. And I don't know what all y'all's specialty, you know, are, you know, but there's another guy on the crew that may have a little bit of more understanding and knowledge in a given area of construction, you know, maybe how that valley needs to come together, you know, here, or how the pitch of the roof or whatever, you know, he's better at that. And he comes alongside and he helps. And this is sort of, you know, you're trying to use an earthly illustration. The Spirit of God comes alongside and helps us. We're weak in this area. We need help in this area. And the Spirit comes and helps us. Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You ever thought about that? Praying in the Holy Ghost? Have that. Well, this is what we're talking about here in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God's coming and helping us, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. How am I going to keep myself in the love of God? God's got to help me, strengthen me, you know, in that regard, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen to this, Psalm 38 and verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before thee. We're talking about God knowing the heart. All my desire is before thee. The Lord knows what you want. The Lord knows what you want. The Lord knows what you want, knows what I want. Everybody in this room, the Lord knows. All my desire is before thee. And my groaning, we're talking about groaning here, my groaning is not hid from thee. Our groaning's not hidden from before the Lord. I can show you, I can take you to the scene where Lazarus is raised from the dead. And we can see the Lord in his humanity. And it's important that we say that. It's in the Lord's humanity. I mean, he took upon himself what? The likeness of sinful flesh. So he felt things that we feel, right? And we see that in Scripture. So you see there in John chapter 11, you see the Lord groaning. Why is where do we see this groaning? What does it look like? Well, here's Mary and Martha. Here's the brother Lazarus. He has passed away. Lord, if you had been here, he had not died. Even now, I know if whatever you ask of the Father, he'll give it unto you. And the disciples, you know, wondering about Lazarus, and the Lord saying he's asleep. They say, oh, if he sleeps, he does well. And the Lord says, he's dead. And I've tarried here these days so that you might see the glory of God. And so he comes onto the scene. You know, there's the Jews and the others that are around that are there with the grieving sisters. They all go to the grave. And you remember the conversation that he has with Martha, saying that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. But as we get further on into that situation, and Jesus sees the weeping, he sees all the sadness, all the sorrow surrounding Lazarus' death. It's been 4 days, okay? All the sorrow and the sadness that there is surrounding the death of this man. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, it says he groaned in the spirit. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And we read the shortest verse in Scripture, Jesus wept. So we see this groaning in our Lord's humanity upon the earth. What was he groaning over? He knew Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. He knew that's the reason why he had come, you know, there to that place. He knew that's what he was going to do. He knew that was going to happen. So it wasn't because of Lazarus' death that he was weeping. What was he weeping about? He was weeping about the sorrow that he saw around them. The sorrow because of what? I mean, well, there may be some lack of faith there, but let's go to the broader picture. It's sin. Sin has caused this scene. Sin has caused the death of this man. That wasn't so when Adam was created, but because Adam partook of the fruit of the tree that he was told not to partake of, you know, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, we read in Scripture. So, you know, here the Lord sees this scene, and he's groaning. Why is he groaning? Well, he's groaning because of the sadness of the scene, of the sorrow that's going on because of sin. And sin has caused this. And he knows that's why he's come into the world. He's come into the world to save us from our sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Yeah, this is why he's come into the world. But here we see this groaning happening, and it's the same sort of thing that we find, you know, in ourselves. At times because of things that are going on. I mean, we've looked upon scenes like that and groaned within ourselves. But this is what the writer here in Romans is speaking to us about. The Spirit helps, you know, our weakness in this area of thinking about things the way that we should and looking upon things the way that we should, and helping us to see that there is hope that we saw, you know, last week, you know, in Christ. Philippians 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Now think about the Spirit of God helping us in our infirmity. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working in us in this way. The Spirit's working in us. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's like the Spirit of God comes. Here's the situation that's perplexed us, that we're troubled over. We don't know what to do. And it's like pouring water on a dry ground. You know, he helps us in our infirmities in that way. So God's ordained this matter of prayer to teach us, to give us knowledge of himself, to help us in our weakness, to help us to have hope, to have strength, to persevere. To wait upon him, look unto him, and wait upon him. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I the Lord search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He searches the heart. He knows what's in the heart. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. The Lord knows what our thoughts are. And the Spirit comes to help us to think in the way that we ought to think, helps our infirmities. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I mean, a lot of people come in prayer and they're not really trusting in the Lord. They're just going through some ritualistic motion. But the Spirit helps us in our infirmity to help us to know how to pray, you know, as we ought. So be encouraged when you come before the Lord in prayer. I mean, the devil might come to you and say, well, you don't even know what you ought to pray about in this situation. You don't even know the Lord. You're not even a Christian. May come try to discourage you. But be encouraged, because here we're being told that we don't know at times what we ought to pray for, how we ought to pray, but that the Spirit comes and helps this infirmity that we have, so that we pray according to the will of God, and that we're helped in this way. So be encouraged. Prayer, we think about Brother Johnny. He came and preached to us, and he said he started out when he was preparing his sermon. He said he was going to name the title of the sermon, Does Prayer Help? That was what he was going to start with. And he worked through some other titles. He finally got to the title that he used in the message, and he says, Prayer Does Help. You know, as he was studying this subject of prayer and thinking upon prayer, he said, I can't call it Does Prayer Help? He said, that's negative. You know, he said, prayer does help. And the Spirit of God helps our infirmity, you know, in our prayer life, in our needs as we pray. We may not always know how to pray, but we're promised to have help in prayer. That's the encouragement. We're promised to have help in prayer. Lord, help me to think upon this like I ought to. Lord, help me to pray about this as I ought to. The Spirit comes and helps us, you know, in that way, comforts us in that way, helps us to bear that burden in that way before the Lord. All right, well, let's stand and go to the Lord once again in prayer. Prayer does help. Prayer is not meaningless. Prayer is beneficial. Prayer brings peace. Prayer brings help and hope. All right. Well.